Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Breakfast with the Gators, part of the Stadium Gale Network, and brought to you by our partner, Norse and Norse PA. Norse and Norse PA is out of Lake City, Florida, a preeminent law firm serving North Florida since 1985. And you can give Guy a call at 386 752-7240 if you need any assistance with business law matters, real estate, wills, or trust, and estate planning. Well, happy Sunday, everybody. Sam, you've got an updated virtual background. Take us through what occurred today.
Yeah, this is always a Gator podcast, but a great day to be an American, great day for the USA. For those who woke up early in the morning, boys on the hockey team got the gold medal match against Canada. It was a 6 a.m. start for Sam out here in the West Coast, but we woke up for it, and it was a long time coming. Obviously not to, we're going to talk about the Gators, but big moment for USA hockey. 46 years since the last gold medal, and then obviously just 16 years in the making since the last best on best Canada gold medal USA game. So, really, really cool moment, and it's been a long time, and we're on top now. So, USA, baby. But here to talk to the Gators with the boys. Hope you guys have had a good weekend.
Yeah, always a nice weekend, especially when the Gators go on the road again and just annihilate another opponent. I think someone tweeted CBS Sports had it as first time since 1996. I think that's when the Big 12 was inducted. We've gone on the road and beat four straight conference opponents by 19 or more points. First team in Power Four, Power Five history. Dev, give us your thoughts Saturday in Oxford.
Yeah, it's becoming kind of the standard with Gator basketball. They just go on the road and beat the hell out of somebody. Another 19-point road win, starting to make threes. That's kind of, I think, the story of February so far is the stat was Florida's only made 10-plus three-pointers 5 times all season, and they've done that 3 times in the last 4 games. There's not a better time, I don't think, to break out of the 3-point shooting slump. Boogie Flam making three threes, Urban on a heater of all heaters from the 3-point line. It's just everything that you've wanted to see from this team throughout conference play. We kind of said it in December when, you're holding on to some of that cope and the hope of you just lost your three big non-conference games. Then through conference play, you want to see the team getting better and better, see the guard play continue to improve. And I think that you're seeing that, you're seeing the shots starting to fall, you're seeing some of those averages that were, inexorbitantly low early in the season starting to balance themselves out. And you're seeing a team that's just playing at an elite level. So it's exciting. Hopefully, they're right here on the precipice of the SEC regular season, something that I think before the season we said would be the goal for this season before you make it to the tournament. So everything's still right there in front of us. And I think that we all kind of sit here today knowing that the ceiling for this team is just as high as the ceiling was last year, and they're starting to reach that peak and play at that level now.
Yeah, and I thought this was an interesting test. You obviously we heard Todd even say Thursday during the Gator Talk, his show every Thursday, talk about some tired legs against South Carolina. We mentioned that after on our show, 3 games in 6 days. Now you got to go to Oxford, which is just a weird place to play right before you go on the road to Texas and the big one Saturday against Arkansas, which could decide the SEC regular season. 11 a.m. local tip in front of I mean, basically a funeral is what it looked like. Before the game, and nobody was there. We were out at the bars Friday night in Oxford. We were wearing our Gator gear, and it's a much different reception this go around than it was for us back in November when we had beers thrown on us, every word of the book thrown at us. But they had no idea why Florida fans were in town. That shows you the interest level of Ole Miss basketball right now. So I think the first 6 games of this winning streak, we trailed for like a combined 2.5 minutes. We trailed for like the first 3 minutes outside of Tommy's three to start the game. And you thought the team kind of was sleepwalking a little bit. And for them to come out and respond, take a big run, go up double digits at half, just shows the resiliency, the toughness, and shows the championship identity that they have. And like you said, Dev, everything's starting to fall in place right now with us hitting shots. I think we're shooting over 30% for the year now, which correct me if I'm wrong, but there is a stat out there. I forgot how long ago it was tweeted, but no national champion has ever won shooting less than 30% from behind the arc. Now we're shooting almost 32-33% in league play. Kondo even got in the mix, hitting his first one of the night. So I just thought that the team played really good and continued just going to away environments and just beat their ass.
Yeah, Jackson, you mentioned the 3-point shooting. Obviously, Condon, we've had many texts in the group chat about the green light that he gets, and so always great to see him hit one. I honestly wasn't surprised. We got a video from before the game of Jackson getting a few pregame shots up, some nice access, and he was making three after three. And right away, I think all of us in the chat said, I mean, we're going to hit every 3-point shot we get up tonight. Boogie Flan, 3 of 6. Condon hit him one. Herb was hot. If Jackson can make them, our guys can make them. So the 3-point shooting is encouraging, to your point. When you go on and filter, if you look at the stats and filter it by month, I was just playing with them. When you go from November 1st, from December 1st, from January 1st, the percent keeps climbing. It's all about getting hot at the right time. And the 3-point shooting has been the weakness. It's what every national media guy talking about the Gators, they all say the same thing. They say that Florida front court's the best in the country. That Florida team's real good. But I just don't think they have the 3-point shooting to get it done. Pretty much every single one saying the same thing. It's getting better each month. It's getting better each game. We're peaking at the right time.
Yeah, nobody in the country's beating us if we shoot 50% from three. Nobody. You're just not, even when you turn the ball over 19 times, I mean, it's a blowout victory and you got the backups, the scout team coming in late. Big picture, just like from a fan perspective, less about the game. I sat down last night and was like, hate watching Illinois. You know what I mean? Like, to be in a spot as a program where, like, not only am I like dialed into Florida basketball and excited. I mean, we've been Florida basketball fans for a long time. We've had years where the team itself wasn't interesting enough to get all that into, you know what I mean? During a certain era. And now I'm so dialed in, I'm hate watching other teams. So it's fun to be a Florida basketball fan. And yeah, it's not just the Gators right now. We're watching other teams trying to improve the seeding too.
Apologies if it was already brought up, but what was the stat? It was, I think it was from Ryan Hammer. It was, we've only made 10 three-pointers in three games, and it was 3 of the last 4. Is that correct?
We've only made 10 plus five times total, and 3 of those 5 were in the last 4 games.
Which is like, it's like scary in two parts. Like, it's like we were doing this without doing that, and if we're able to tap into that, what we can become. So, yeah, like you mentioned, Lovey, if we can start hitting shots, it's going to be tough to beat. And you can – everyone – we've mentioned it for the last few weeks, but now the national noise around the boys is definitely starting to pick up too. And yeah. people are noticing.
You kind of look at the quick stats, the team stats after the game, you're like, you know, I know Dia had 22 or 24 points. He was really effective. I wish that guy wasn't a senior and maybe he could join our front court next year.
He's a good ball player, yeah.
He was really good. And he made a lot of tough shots, so credit to him. I thought we defended him pretty well, but he made a lot of 8 to 10-foot mid-range jumpers, even extended to the three-point line. But you look at the stats, you're like, Ole Miss outscored us in the paint. And how does that happen with Kondo dropping 24, Tommy having, what do you have, 20?
Yeah.
Yeah. And even Xavier Lee with 11 with a few drives. But it was really just the three ball. We hit 11. We take, I think, 11 of 22 from deep, something that we haven't seen a whole lot this year. So just a misleading stat because I thought we did play really well in the interior as well. We were 21 of 34 inside the arc. Shot 57% as a team, 50 from deep. We shot the free throw really well. I thought both teams, both shooting over 86%, a lot of free throws in this game. Just very effective when we did not turn the ball over. And Kondo's averaging like 28-4 his last 3 games. I think Neil Blackman of Florida Basketball Hours tweeted multiple times. He's one of 3 players in the country averaging 14-8-4. Really has excelled his game in the last month. Since he dropped 25 on Alabama, which is feels like his just get back game every single year. And since that moment, his identity through the offense, I thought we did a real good job after we kind of settled down those first 4 minutes or so of running the offense through Kondo. We had some alley-oops to Tommy, He fed Ruben. You know, it just opens up so many things with Lee coming off the ball, Urban coming off the ball. You got the slashes. You got Tommy with some backdoor cuts. You know, you got some guy at 6'10 that can also run the court while also kind of running point a little bit from the elbow. There's just so many options for this offense, and it's really starting to come together.
Yeah, when Condon has a 6-to-1 turnover assist ratio, I mean, that's like the All-American everybody thought, right? I mean, he looks so good.
While we're giving Condo his flowers from Saturday, this whole week, just one of the frustrating things about his game at times is he just looks exasperated when he gets fouled. And instead of being exasperated, he went 11 for 11 from the free throw line this week. Team shot really well altogether from the free throw line, but that's a welcome sign for him to, you know, not only get to the free throw line because he's been super effective and consistent at getting to the line this year. But it seems like he's always a risk of missing the front end of a 1-1 or going 1-of-2 or 0-for-2 from the line. And for him to go to 11 for 11 this week from the free throw line, I thought was another welcome change and something that, you know, when it comes time for March, you're going to have to make your free throws. So seeing him get hot from the free throw line, we've seen times where Ruben's been really hot from the free throw line. Thomas Houck has kind of had up and down times, and now he's consistently hitting free throws again too. So that's one of the things I think that come tournament time, hopefully it translates well. Guys stay hot there and continue to take advantage of the free throws.
Yeah, I think Tommy went 6-of-6 from the line as well Saturday. So when you get that kind of production out of your front court, out of your 3 and 4 position, you're going to win a lot of ball games in the fashion we did.
Yeah, to win by 19 points on the road while having 19 turnovers, like it's going to be hard to beat us if we're making – we don't even have to shoot 50% and make 11 threes a game. If you're making 8 threes a game with the way that we rebound in the front court, and, you know, hopefully we're not turning the ball over 19 times a game going forward. But it's going to take a good storm for us to get beat.
Yeah, and I think that 19 is slightly misleading. I don't know how many we had at half. It was in the double figures, 11, 12. I thought we played a lot more clean in the second half. That reserve unit that came in the last 3.5-4 minutes or so, I think they tallied 3 or 4 themselves. So,
yeah,
you know, there's you can kind of cut away from that. The 19, we played, I think, just maybe 4 or 5 in the second half, which is a lot cleaner than how we performed in the opening 20 minutes.
Yeah, it was a lot cleaner late. And we talked a lot about the 3-point shooting being 11 to 22. Urban Clavshar, man. I mean, he's on a roll, especially in SEC play. But I was just looking a second ago. He's north of 40% now from 3 on the year. And whatever his limitations might be on the court, like, almost don't matter as much because he fills the biggest need on the team. You know what I mean? And he's such a valuable player, just hitting a few of those, seeing a few of those get in, stretch the defense a little bit, and then you can really work Condon and those and Tommy at the elbow. But he's been on a heck of a run, man. I don't know. I know Zion pulling on a lower volume shot north of 40%, but whenever you're north of that mark, I mean, you're really shooting the ball at a high clip.
Who would be the last player at the rate that Urban shoots, shot over 40%? I mean,
my guess would be Locke, like maybe his freshman or sophomore year. Who's that?
That was my first thought too. Was Noah Locke?
That'd be my first guess. I'd have to look. I do think he was north of 40% one of the years earlier in his career, freshman.
He was 43% his second year, 40% his third year. So nice find there, Lovey.
I watched a lot of those games.
You did a close up too, so you got to witness Noah Locke bang it. Yeah, six attempts a game as a sophomore, 5.5, just north of 5.5 as a junior. So really, real effective from beyond the arc.
Yeah, and I thought it was a quiet day from Xavier and Boogie. Not necessarily from a standpoint where they had to do a ton, but then you look up because of what Urban did, and I want to say they were at like 36, 37 points combined. If you get that from the three guards too, you're going to be in a good spot, you know, any night.
it's starting to remind me a little bit of last year, where last year, if you stopped Walter Clayton, you had to also stop Will Richard. You had to stop Elijah Martin. You had to stop Alex Condon. You had to stop Tommy Houck. There's so many options of guys that could beat you. And this year, it's different because it's not necessarily the guards that you're looking to stop first. But if you're able to hold Alex Condon, then you're at risk of letting Ruben Chinyelu go off. And then you're also at risk of Tommy Houck going off. And then now the guards are starting to be able to put up, you know, 12, 14, 16 points, put up games that they can beat you. So it's starting to become a team where it's almost whack-a-mole that you have to, if you stop two of the bigs, then you're at risk of the guards going crazy. And then you're at risk of the guards going crazy, the bigs are, that loosens up for them again. So it's starting to have that feel of, well, we don't really have an answer. Who can we can't stop them all at once. They can't all have bad games. Because, I mean, last night, Ruben had 3 points and 6 rebounds. That is, you know, Ole Miss looks at that going into the game like it's a win. But you had Alex Condon and Tommy Houck just go crazy. And then you had Urban come off the bench with 4 threes. So I don't know what the recipe is and how you game plan for the way that they're playing right now. You know, you got to knock on wood. You know, just when we start giving flowers like this is when team loses focus. We got to get back to the tough coaching. But it's just hard to see what you do to game plan. Who do you game plan to stop when they're playing as well as they have these last few weeks?
It's kind of like what we're going to have with Arkansas on Saturday. It's like, all right, limit Acuff under 20, 25, just because you know the kind of point explosion he could have. You know, but who are you going to let beat you from Arkansas? Who are you fine with allowing 17 points or so if you can take out Acuff? Because their bigs won't hang with us at all. So you're going to allow some, you know, another guard or two get going. But if you can eliminate Acuff, I don't want to jump ahead. We got a big one Wednesday night in Austin against Texas. But just another prime example that Arkansas, you can take away Acuff. Who do they really have? I know Wagner's pretty good. When you look at Florida, like you said, Dev, it's whack-a-mole. I mean, you're going to get killed by somebody. It's just not one. It's going to be two or three of them at the same time.
Texas is going to play this in the locker room, Jackson. I know you owned up to it saying look-ahead spot, but Texas is going to play this in the locker room. Bulletin board material. Talking Arkansas game plan already.
You know, big Texas, they got some good players. They got this 7-footer that's real effective, scoring the ball, gets to the foul line a lot. I think I don't know where he falls in line now, but I know like within the last week or two, he was one of the more efficient players getting to the free throw line. He's second in the country right now in terms of free throw rate. I think he knocks it down at a high clip. I don't have it in front of me what his percentage would be. But yeah, that we're going to be in trouble if we get, Condo or Ruben, with early fouls. So it'll be interesting how Wednesday night goes. I haven't watched much of Texas. I watched a little bit Saturday against Mike White, down 15 in the second half, rallied back to tie it. And then immediately Georgia goes on a 13-2 run to end the game.
That kid, Dalen Swain, I think is his name, is probably a candidate for SEC Player of the Week. I think he's hung 20 plus. He might be averaging 20 for the season. He's been a really good player for them. So between the 7-footer and that kid, they got some talent. You just got to – I mean, this is a prime, you know, second road game and a back-to-back road game, big home game on Saturday.
Long trip.
I think it is a dangerous spot against a team that's talented, that this would kind of make their season. They would – I don't think that they're necessarily a bubble team. I think that they're
– No, they are. This is 32nd in KenPom. Yeah, they're good.
Oh, yeah, so you're the defending national champions going on the road. That's enough to get their attention. But when they're desperate and playing from the bubble like this, I mean, you got to come ready to play and give that championship effort that, you know, the coaching staff was tweeting about after the game on Saturday.
I almost have to remind myself that, like, just rolling into road SEC basketball venues and putting in your scout team with 5 minutes left isn't normal. You know what I mean? Like, Texas is going to be a reminder of that. Like, it's no gimme game. Like, we're going to have to show up and play good, and we've been spoiled this year, man.
Yeah, we said after South Carolina, I know the final scoreboard only beating the team by 14 on your home court if you just beat them by 47 a few weeks prior at their place. Don't take these for granted. This has not happened often. I think now with that win against Texas or against Ole Miss on Saturday, that's 8 conference games we've won by 15 or more points, which going off of what some guys responded to my tweet about, would tie a program record. I think we had 9 one year, but that included the SEC tournament. So in terms of regular season, this is pretty historic and something we should not take for granted whatsoever.
So
what was it, 11? Go ahead, Hunt.
I was going to say, it was a good time to read a stat. I was saying it before we got on. Shout out to longtime listener, Mr. Jack Young. I'm not sure where he got the stat from, but he talked about, if you look back in Todd's second season, we had a blowout loss at Tennessee. Since that loss, Todd Golden's Gators are 70-16 overall and 36-10 in SEC play. So it goes to your point, Jackson. I'm not taking this for granted. It's funny because we come off of games like South Carolina, which you just mentioned. And I remember, fellas hopped on here and we had Sam telling us, hey, let's not be complaining about these double-digit wins. And he's right. We start to get, you start to get any time there's a close game or not this 20, 30-point win against a team that's below 500 in SEC, you start to talk, oh, we didn't look all that sharp. And it's true at times because even this Ole Miss game, you talk about the turnovers or maybe how the first half went and feeling like you should beat a team by more. But it's just what we've come to expect under Todd Golden. So it's hard not to take it for granted, but you got to live in the moment. You got to enjoy it for what it is. It's dominance right now.
No, you're absolutely right. And I think I looked, it's been basically a full calendar year. We've lost 7 games.
That's great.
Pretty good.
It's pretty, that's you get used to winning. You expect to win. And it's especially in basketball, and to your point, you definitely want to see an unbelievable effort, make every shot. But I think especially in this time of year, obviously the moniker is survive in advance, and it's just keep winning, keep stacking games. But to Lovey's point, when you can roll the reserves out there, and our boy Micic is putting up buckets in Oxford, it's like, why not? Like, yeah, let's keep him rolling, But it's we're definitely spoiled, but continue to Saturday will be a good test. Another good test. Continue to, let's see if maybe a nice close game down to the wire, pull out the W, or just beat the brakes off of them.
You just looked past Texas again, Sammy.
I know, because it was funny because I was going to give Jackson, because he walked back looking over Texas in real time, which was very funny.
I don't know who Texas has on their roster for us to focus on. So use A Cup.
Well, you literally looked up their roster and started reading off their shooting percentages.
This is the rat poison of all rat poison.
And
the worst part is if we lose to Texas, we're going to have Will Norris hopping on the pod next time, blaming the loss on all of us.
The guy, Will Norris, the guy who gave up podcasting for Lent?
Yeah.
That guy.
Not to continue to overlook Texas, but who may be in attendance for the big Arkansas game?
I'll be there.
All right.
College game day is coming to town.
College game day will also be there.
That's big.
I think Neil Blackman tweeted that we're in the top 5 all time of college game day appearances in Gainesville. That's up there with Duke, wow, UNC, Kansas, and one more, which is pretty remarkable. You talk about blue bloods. Yeah, I mean, I don't know when college game day started for basketball. Obviously, it started in the 90s for football. I don't know when.
Like early to mid 2000s, right?
Because they came there during the Donovan era. So, yeah, right. It had to be in the early 2000s or so.
That's still shocking, though. From 2010 to 2020, I wouldn't have thought. I mean, obviously, 2014, there's just a lot less years you would think they'd be coming here. That's cool.
Well, it would have been 2015 to 2021.
Yeah,
because Donovan was four
maybe
straight
had a time or two
until 14.
In the Donovan era, the SEC wasn't what the SEC is now. That's so true. Obviously, we were an esteemed program, but were we getting these big type, conference matchups?
And they probably just came to town for Kentucky once a year. That might have been it.
it's either Kentucky, Florida, or maybe Kentucky, Tennessee a couple of those years.
Yeah.
But then by the time Tennessee had gotten good, it was more like Alabama, Auburn, Tennessee, while Florida and Kentucky were kind of lost in the wilderness. And
because last year was Texas A&M there on campus for, which I think they were seventh in the country at the time, which you don't see very often. So just speak, it also just speaks to the level of competition the SEC is.
But that's way different now.
Hey, well, they've come to Florida games the last 2 years, and it hasn't been for Florida. Well, we didn't play Auburn or Alabama. I guess we did play Alabama, but it wasn't for Alabama, Auburn, Kentucky, or Tennessee. It's been for Arkansas and A&M. So
that
just speaks to the depth of the league.
Do we have time for one more Billy Donovan era stat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
To appreciate the times that we're in. Billy Donovan's winning percentage at Florida was 715. It was over the course of 18 years, so he was obviously super successful and sustained it for a really long time. Does anybody have off the top of their head Todd Golden's winning percentage at Florida?
715.
If he wins Wednesday night, 715.
Not bad.
Isn't that crazy? It's not to compare the two, but like just to like appreciate where the program's at right now. I mean, if you would have told me 4 years ago or whenever Todd Golden was hired, I remember Jeff Goodman being on a podcast back then saying, hey, Todd Golden is going to get Florida back to a Final Four, and just being like, holy cow, like that'd be awesome, right? If you told me 4 years later that he'd have a national championship and matched Billy Donovan's winning percentage step by step through 4 years.
With another two seed coming up and playing the best team in the country at this time of the year.
And that's with a 16-17 in year one too.
A total rebuild.
Can't forget about that.
A total rebuild. Yeah. It's not like he inherited a good roster that was good off rip. You know what I mean?
Because what was Mike White was what, 19-13, I think, their last season?
Yeah. And then he inherited, I mean, it was like Kwesi Reeves, Myron Jones.
Colin Castleton. A terrific team.
They were a bubble team until Colin Castleton got hurt. And when Colin Castleton got hurt, they were abysmal that year. But it just speaks to the volume of like, The floor always remained relatively high with Florida since 94 or whatever it was. There was a stretch where they lost the ceiling. And through 4 years, not only is the ceiling like shown, like it's back to, I mean, it's why people consider Florida blue blood. You know what I mean? A new coach steps in and within 3 years you get a natty and you match a Hall of Fame head coach like that.
And he's doing it in a period where, like we just mentioned, the SEC is the best it's ever been, too.
Where
it's just Kentucky, all right, you got to go match them. You've got 7-8 different programs that have been to the Sweet 16, maybe, I don't know, maybe a little bit more than that in the last several years. But a lot of parity in this league. And for him just to step in here in 3 years and now is fourth and kind of claim his top spot in the SEC is it's nothing short of remarkable.
Yeah, he's a.
Y'all can push back if this is a bad comp. It just popped into my head, but we're kind of the LSU of college basketball, where three of our last four head coaches have made it to a Final Four. We've won three national championships. It didn't have, you know, the sustained basketball success before the 90s. LSU, obviously, it was 2000. But now that we've kind of reached this level, three of those four coaches making it to a Final Four. Three national titles, all the Elite Eights that we've made it to. I mean, in the last 25 years, they're second to UConn, and that's it.
That's it.
That's the entire list of programs that have been better than Florida in the last 25 years.
Yeah, it's remarkable, man. Any conversation that gets me talking about Florida being a blue blood and one of the premier programs in the country gets me excited. I mean, that's a 30-year history of remarkable success. Todd right now is at 97 wins. So he should reach 100 this year. So to be averaging over 25 wins a year in an era where the SEC has been better than it ever has been. I mean, think about if you told yourself that four years ago. Pretty
exciting. He can get his 100th win senior night against Mississippi State if we run the table this week.
That's correct.
That'll be a pretty cool send off for obviously Tommy Houck. Mike as a senior. I know we still got a few juniors that
Kondo. Are going
to test the NBA waters. Kondo, Ruben, Boogie, even if he continues to knock down some shots, NBAs might like what they see. That's cool, right? I don't want to overlook Texas or Arkansas, but for him to clinch his 100th win on senior night in his fourth year would be awesome.
And if we do we drop one, get the 100th win in Lexington is not the worst thing. That'd be pretty cool.
We can't put any clips from this episode out there. We're going to have people at our necks if we stumble in the next week or so.
Yeah, so if anybody's watching this, please do not clip this and post for us.
Did Will give up YouTube and Twitter for Lent too, or just podcasting?
No, he's been all over the timeline. He's been sending us tweets all episode.
So we'll see it. We got to be careful.
As we were reading off all those stats, I just kept thinking, like, yeah, they're definitely playing this podcast in the Texas locker room tomorrow morning. When Lovey pulled off the win percentage one, I said, that might be the one that does us in.
Hey, man, it's crazy. That's all. Awesome.
And Sean Miller's a hell of a coach.
He is.
Crazy. Brother, I hired him about 4 years ago, I think.
I hired him 4 years ago. And before that, when we should have fired a certain head coach before we took another job.
Do you think Texas goes by the motto too? I know they're like an institution that has great academics all around, great success in their athletic department. Do you think championship experience with integrity rings over there with Chris Beard and Sean Miller within like 5 years of each other? Is that just...
They're desperate.
That's crazy, bro.
Do whatever it takes.
Hey, that's it.
Well, anything else to hit on basketball wise?
No, just a chance to win the SEC this week, man. Win two games and win the SEC.
Huge week. It's going to be, I think it's a decent time Wednesday, 7 o'clock, and then the 8:30 primetime game. Game day's in town. I mean, a lot on the line at that point. So
that's going to be a sauced up crowd in Gainesville.
You think anybody will be camping out Friday night with it being an 8:30 or? Oh, I guess maybe because college game is in town. If you go get seats,
almost 100%.
They'll be camping.
Jackson, before we hop into baseball and whatever else, before you move on from basketball, we obviously talked Gator basketball this whole episode. We'd be remiss not to mention the weekend it was in college basketball in general. I mean, just for college basketball fans, as we started to get into the swing late February here, as we go into March, I mean, it was just from tip-off at noon till I woke up the next morning not even having seen the Iowa State BYU game. I mean, it was game after game. Houston, Arizona, you got Duke, Michigan, obviously Kansas. I think it was the worst loss at home under Bill Self. I mean, there was some great basketball. Auburn, obviously, against Kentucky.
Illinois blew a 23-point lead against UCLA.
It was hard to name them all. Wow. I mean, so much good basketball.
It was a great day of college basketball. And we're just getting
started. And a beneficial day for us seating-wise.
Yeah. And I didn't even mention, what was the stat? I sent it in the group chat this morning. That was a nice little wake-up tweet that we got to send. Kentucky basketball is now 26-21 versus Power 5 competition in the last 15 months. 14 losses by double digits.
Wow. Did you see the clip of their coach? The press walking off the podium too?
They can't find me. I didn't say anything about them cheating us or something like that.
Yeah, that feels like a situation that could come off the rails sooner rather than later.
Well, in fairness to Mark Pope and to Kentucky, they have never lost a game where the refs didn't cheat them. So
right.
you gotta feel for them that they have to go through that every game.
Let's also shout out our favorite Twitter account, Rare Rookies #BBN. Just 7 days ago, this is how Kentucky wins the SEC. They haven't won a game since. I've dropped three straight. So
was three straight losses on his card, his infographic for how they win the SEC?
It was not, no.
Hey, what are they, 4 games back of us?
They would be, if the SEC tournament started today, they would be the 9 seed and playing first on Wednesday afternoon.
Wow.
Hey, Jackson, it'd be a real shame if we went on Wednesday and you revisit that tweet when they're mathematically eliminated from winning the SEC.
That'll be a good one. Do you think Big Blue Nation shows up to Nashville?
If they always do. They always do.
They got nothing better to do in Lexington or the state of Kentucky in general. So might as well wake
the drive down. What else are they going
to do? Yeah, what else are you going
to do? Clip that one.
All right. Baseball talk. Dev, new segment. We will start to contribute a little bit once league play starts. But right now, it's tough to follow. I just follow online or whatever text you send us. Gator sweep Kennesaw State. Have won seven straight.
Thank you, Jackson. Yeah, welcome to Devin's Baseball Minute. Your sponsorship here. We are taking sponsorship applications as we speak for the Gator Baseball Minute. Yeah, three-game sweep. We won every game this week. Finally got good Liam Peterson after a long week for him, I imagine. He walked a bunch of guys on last Friday. This week he cleaned that up and really looked like the guy that we expected to see coming into the season. Aiden King yesterday, phenomenal. Another great start for him. And then Cooper Walls this morning kind of got off to a rough start, gave up three in the first, and then he was able to right the ship a little bit. Gators kind of walked guys. The walk started rearing their ugly head as we got through Sunday, but they were able to hold off Kennesaw State, win game three of the series 12-9 today. Gators move to 6-1 on the season. Big week this week. Sully said that they were going to kind of rotate pitchers during the two midweek games against FIU and then a huge one next weekend against Miami. So things get real fast for the baseball team. Just a little bit on the lineup. I love these guys. They rip the baseball. They hit home runs. Kyle Jones has been you know, last year's team, I think, wound up 39-22. They were 15-15 in conference play, but we lost our leadoff hitter and starting center fielder on opening night for the season. If this Kyle Jones guy was on last year's team, I imagine that they would have been that much better. It's hard to overcome, especially in college baseball, losing your leadoff guy and starting center fielder. This dude is just ripping the cover off the baseball. Been the most consistent hitter. I don't know what he finished today, but he was hitting .500 for the season so far and led the country in extra base hits. And just up and down the lineup, the freshmen are contributing, the transfers are contributing. They can really, really hit the baseball. So we'll see as the season goes on. Baseball's long. There's going to be stretches where they don't hit the ball, slumps and everything else. And excited the way that they're hitting the ball, excited the way that they're pitching this weekend, and excited to see them play against Miami next week.
Longest one-minute segment of all time, Dev.
Congrats. I get excited when I start talking about Sully's voice. I had to channel my inner Will Norris.
Have you watched or seen, not watched, but anything about Miami baseball? Four-game weekend stretch this week. They scored
insane
73 runs, including 30 today.
Miami?
The program record.
Yeah, 15-2, 14-2, 14-3, 30-5.
Who were they playing?
No, you can go back for it. It's not just the four game stretch. Through nine games, they've scored 144 runs. That is 16 runs a game.
That includes an 8-run outing and a 6-run outing. They've scored 27, 17, and 13 in their opening series.
It's the best nine game stretch ever, and it's to open the season, I'm pretty sure, for them. Best 9-game stretch for them ever. Yeah. And it's to open the season. Yeah. Crazy.
That's remarkable.
They haven't seen Liam Peterson when he's throwing strikes or Aiden King.
That's a good point.
We have a Sam Wilson. I saw you hit a tank. Very good for the namesake.
Big days for the Sams.
That's all you got for Sam Wilson on me? Come on.
Well, I think that's anything else to touch on, boys, before we wrap up?
Yeah, I touched on a little bit, just back to the hockey. As you guys, you don't watch a whole lot of hockey. What were your guys' thoughts on watching that game? Devin, Jackson, Hunter?
I was, as a non-hockey guy, the only one in this group, I didn't think we had an offense. I really only watched the third period. I was very concerned about the hockey team today. Didn't think we were just on defense. It felt like the entire 20 minutes. Canada missed some wide open, I guess you call them layups in hockey, some open netters. Right. Didn't convert.
It was basketball.
Well, yeah.
Sam, it was one of the greatest matches I've ever seen. Hellebuyck stood on his head. It was phenomenal. We tried to put pucks on net, and no, I'm just kidding. It was awesome, dude. You have the Americans and the pride that you feel watching, you know, the boys represent the country. The way that Jack Hughes, you know, expressed his appreciation after the game for playing for America and how proud he was to be an American. It made me, all you guys, the rest of us proud. You know, 46 years is way too long between gold medals. And it's cool to have those kind of moments where everybody kind of comes together for the red, white, and blue, and you know, to beat those guys up north at their own game. That's pretty cool.
Well said, DC. Couldn't even set
up. Freebird, baby.
And I'm supposed to be the resident hockey guy.
Yeah, and Sam, you and I got to enjoy some post-hockey golf today, which those Canadians could not do after watching the team lose in their own sport. They had to stay indoors as it continues to snow up north.
I mean, like, the royalties in life, you know. You win in hockey, and then you get to go play, get to knock the white ball around a little bit, you know. They had a real tough day up there. That's all I got to say. But, yeah, it was an awesome game, you know, and I'm glad to everyone kind of rally around the sport. It's weird in other sports where, obviously, like, the professional, like, the championships is the big stage. But when you have the world stage for other, like, baseball and the World Baseball Classic, the Olympics for basketball, I just don't think it quite hits the same as maybe the gold medal for hockey. So glad everyone kind of got to see, and the best on best. So it's been years. I'm glad the NHL kind of came around and figured out this is the best marketing possible for the sport. So go USA, yeah. Baby.
Now it's time to turn our attention to the World Baseball Classic that starts in, I think, 2 or 3 weeks down in Miami.
Well, I just gave it a glaring promotion.
Rundown on World Baseball Classic. We get Lovey Baseball 1 to 5 minutes segments when that comes around.
I can't wait. I'm thrilled.
Yeah, Lovey's 1 minute WBC.
All right. Appreciate you guys listening. Again, we'll be back maybe middle of the week, if not definitely next Sunday, to recap Texas, Arkansas, and the big showdown in baseball against Miami. So appreciate you guys watching. Make sure you liked and subscribed on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, and following us on Twitter at Breakfast WTG. Go Gators.
Go Gators.
Go Gators.